in this subject of assurance, assurance of salvation. We're going to touch on 1 John and really look at 1 John and the things that are said in 1 John. 1 John, the book of 1 John, is a book that's it's always been said. I've heard it said during the time that I've been saved and even before, and have told this to others, that 1 John's a real fine book to go to find out if you're saved or not. And there are doubts. There are doubts that can happen to folks. It's that way. We have this, for those that are saved, we have this new man and this old man that's at hand. And the old man can rise up. If he's fed more than the new man, he can rise up. Peter told us in his epistle is that we can forget that we were washed from our old sins. That can happen. So we see that extreme. We see the extreme in the characters of the Scripture. Nobody would believe Lot was saved. Other than us being told that Lot was saved. I mean, that our brother got bad off, but he was justified by the Lord. And so we have these extremes, and we've touched on this also as we took a look at Peter's epistles, that it can be with folks that they can think that they're saved or feign to be saved and maybe look really, really good to others, but have an intellectual knowledge of the things contained in the Scriptures, but not have a spiritual relationship with the Lord. That can happen too. And so all these things are there, and the book of 1 John, I think, is a fine book. It doesn't speak about our feelings. It doesn't speak about what we muster up within the old man, but it speaks about knowledge, what we know. And that song, Honey in the Rock, the relationship with the Lord is a sweet relationship. It's a blessed relationship. It's a relationship that helps you. I remember how it was before I was saved. I felt like the way that I operated before I was saved was this, and I've seen folks seemingly be in this shape before is that I was working to do all the do's and don'ts to keep the Lord off my back. If I kept the Lord off of my back, I was okay. That was the relationship that I had with the Lord, is that the Lord says, don't do this and do this. And as long as I walk that narrow line, my relationship with the Lord's going to be all right because I'm going to keep him off my back. After the Lord saved me, I wanted to find out what my Lord wanted me to do and pursue it gladly. Now, I've had times where I started pursuing me rather than the Lord, and that hurt the fellowship. But you know what? The Word of God and the preaching of God's Word and the work of the Holy Spirit within brings conviction and rebuke and chastisement and those things that we need, and brings you back, as the Scripture tells us. And so, appreciate that song. The relationship with your Lord, is it sweet? Or is it orthodox? We need to be orthodox about the truth of the Lord. I mean, the Lord believes something, but is that all there is? Is the orthodoxy? Maybe that's cold. I tell you what, the orthodoxy is nothing to die by. You need a person to die with, to die by. Someone that's made you a promise that he will take care of you. Orthodoxy is dead and cold. Nothing to die by. But the Lord Jesus, oh, now there's a Savior. There's the Savior. And a walk and a relationship with Him. Assurance of salvation. We've taken a look about what is meant by assurance, and it's, the Scripture talks about what we know in our Lord and are convicted of. We've taken a look at why we need it, so we might have joy, confidence, comfort, stability of mind in Him to overcome the world and be a witness of our Lord. The basis of assurance of salvation is all found in our Lord, not in us. He's the Savior. He's the one that saved us. We find that basis in His person and His promises and in His presence. And this, and that we see, will not go straight to 1 John in this first passage, but how can one know? May one know that they are saved? Okay? Now understand, there is an intellectual knowledge, and you and I know internally when we're faking a thing, when we're pressing a thing, when we're trying to do a thing, and we know about desire. Okay, we know about desiring to follow and obey. And so, indeed, I come to you as one that faked salvation twice over before the Lord saved me. I was trying to find salvation in my own way. Again, this thing of God, I've got to get God appeased and get him off my back so I'll be okay. But then when I was saved, I had a relationship and had the Word of God, the Word of my Savior speaking to me about the things that I needed and the things that he was telling me, the things that he's promised. And that. And so how may one know that they're saved? Or what's the Bible say about what the saved one knows? In Acts chapter 16, let's take a look over here. Acts chapter 16, the apostle is doing this missionary work that the Lord, the Holy Spirit of God, chose him to do. And he finds himself with bear with me here while I get my bearings. They're there, and we see in verse number 14 of chapter 16 the conversion of Sister Lydia of Lydia here at Philippi, and there's this damsel that is bringing her master's gain. And the Lord saves her by his power and the work there. But Brother Paul and Silas, in pursuing this ministry and working here in Philippi, preaching the Lord Jesus and the Spirit of God being at hand and in them and working in them, they find themselves in jail. And they got put in prison. There's a great earthquake, verse 26 of this chapter in Acts 16. The prison's shaken. The doors are opened. Brother Paul and Brother Silas have been singing in the night. And the keeper of the prison is wakened out of his sleep and sees all these doors open and is going to kill himself. Because it's his life for the life of the prisoners. He knows that. That's the way it works in Rome. Amongst the Romans. And Paul cries to him, verse 28, don't hurt yourself. Don't do that. Don't do that. The man comes in, springs for a light. Came trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas, verse number 30, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. It's good enough for you. It's good enough for your wife, your children, everybody that lives at your place. He says here, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. For those that are saved, and one that has been saved, you know that you've been saved because you've believed on Christ. You have believed on him, haven't you? Remember, it's the hard shells that believe that you just kind of get a telegraph from the Lord finding out you're one of the elect. That's not so. That doesn't work that way. Those who are saved have believed and rested and trusted in Christ. They heard the message of the gospel. They've heard the message that the Lord sends about our sins. They hear the message of a Savior, God the Son, who came down and became a man and gave his life on the cross of Calvary. You mean I need a Savior to have died for me? Yeah, that's what the gospel and the Word of God does and speaks to the sinner. And you know what? The way the Lord's designed us and the way the operation of God is, he brings the truth to sinners. And when the Lord moves, as we know, and opens up the eyes, as the brother prayed, he illuminates, he enlightens, he shows us the truth. You know what? Cows can't believe, but men do believe. Because the truth has been opened up and shown to them, where they're at, where the Savior is, how we don't compare to him, he being the standard, and how we need him indeed. We believed. This man, it says here, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord. What was that? Well, I'll tell you what, probably what you'd find Peter preaching to Cornelius' house, right, over in Acts chapter 10, right? Spoken to him the word of the Lord. And all that were in his house, and he took them the same hour and night and washed his stripes, was baptized, he and all his straightway. Why? Because he believed. He gave testimony of faith in Christ. Said, I'm trusting the Savior that you preach. So you know that you have believed. Now, my pastor used to say, and I'm sure still does, he said, don't trust your trusting. Because, see, the thing is we know the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 talks about those that have believed in vain. See, it's not just enough to make a statement that you have believed, but do you believe? Has your life been changed by the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, there's a believer. Do you want to know what the Lord says and then operate and follow on that? Now, there's a believer. Not one that speaks about believing, but then after that goes away and is the same man. 1 John chapter 5. What else do those who are saved know? 1 John chapter 5, and here's this honey in the rock, Brother Jamie. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 12. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Do you have Jesus? Does Jesus have you? I tell you what, you've got the Lord. In the Lord, we have it all. In having Jesus, we have it all. Do you have the Son? Those who are saved have the Son. They know that He is their Savior. Don't look to their good works. Don't look to the Lord's Supper. Don't look to the baptismal waters. But look to the Lord. The Lord. You have the Lord Jesus. In chapter 3 of this book, we see here, what else do those that are saved know? Verse number 14. Listen to this. We know. All right? We know. Do you know this? We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. You love the brethren? Do the brethren mean more to you than others in the world? You know, I love my family, the family that I have. I'm thankful for them. I tell you what, my relationship is closer with my brethren. We're heading to eternity together. And not just brothers and sisters at Olmsted Baptist Church, but what a blessing to have brothers and sisters in other churches and other places. What a blessing it is to go and to go to a new church. I have a church that I've never been to before, not a new church, but a church that I've never been to before. And you know, we got a kinship in Christ immediately, having never met people, got a kinship in Christ. Why? Because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have a love for the brethren? I'm afraid that there's some in Baptist churches that kind of, the way I liken it, that kind of wind up the clock of endurance to be around the brethren, quote unquote, and can wind that sucker up for that time, and I'm going to endure being around them, but when that clock goes off, it's time to split. Wow, there's a flash from the past. Now, it's time to leave. It's time to can't take it anymore. How was it with the first church? I tell you what, they were together a lot. And did they get on one another's nerves? Sure they did. But they loved one another. They gave of themselves to help one another. Those that are saved know that they love the brethren. I tell you what, I'm thankful for my brothers and sisters in Christ. Are you? In 1 John chapter 2, let's take a look here, verse number 3. And we're going to find this. You find this in this chapter, and it's a great study to go through about all the things that the children of God know. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 3. And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. The Lord Jesus Christ says, He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And the Lord's got some commandments. While I love the Lord, but if I don't obey Him, if I don't pursue and follow what He says, do I really love Him? You know, fans, it's interesting how this word is used. Fan, you know, the word fan, people are fans of ball teams. Hockey teams, fans of singers. You know how you know that they're fans of those things, those people? Because They're interested in what they're doing. They buy their merchandise. They go to their games. They know the stats of what's going. They're fans. They're fans. You know how you can find out if somebody's a fanatic? Oh, wait, I'm going to change the word, didn't I? A fanatic of the Lord Jesus Christ? They're synonyms, fans. Fan is an abbreviation for fanatic. You know how you can know that somebody's a fanatic of Jesus Christ? They're interested in what He says. They want to obey what He says, want to pursue what He says. They love Him, and they're looking to tell others about Him. They live Him. He lives in them. Interesting how that's... It's good to be a sports fan, but you don't want to be a religious fanatic. Watch that. One can know that they're saved, or the children of God know they're saved, they desire to keep the commandments of God. And hereby we do know that we know Him. It's talking about knowledge there. It's not talking about feelings. Sometimes the body just doesn't want to go and do what the Lord says. We've got to put that sucker under subjection and go ahead and go. I'm thankful that you've come. It's been a long day for many of you. And that's an interesting dynamic about our church. Most of you drive from a long way away. That's a dynamic that we have in our church. I would dare say the average distance is somewhere around 20, 25 miles that folks drive. And you're here. Why? Because you want to be here because the Lord wants you here. And the thing is, it's not like it's a trade, but it's a... As we mentioned Sunday, it's a good offering, isn't it? To obey the Lord. And you know what? You know, I've never had a time that I pushed my old bod to go ahead and come to the services that I didn't have the strength to be there and a blessing from being in the services. Our Lord is so good. Here in this same chapter, look what it says here in verse number 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Love is the key there. You know what? We've got to live. We've got to work, got to make money, it takes money to live. Things, there's nothing wrong with having things, using them for the honor and glory of the Lord and not to sin against Him. But is it your all in all? Are the things of life, the things of the world, the way of the world, is that our mainstay? Do you want the things of the world and that come out of the world more than you want the things of the Lord? Don't love the world. And I tell you what, the lovers of the world, it says here, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We've got to live in this world. The Lord prays that the Father not take us out of this world, but that we would live by Him and through Him and in Him in this world and be a witness of Him. You like the sin of the world? You know, I like to follow after the sin of the world. You know, there's some that just are looking to create new ways to sin against God. Is there an abhorrence of sin and wickedness? Or is there an acceptance of that or a pursuit of that? Well, the children of God don't want anything to do with the world. We've got to live in the world. And there's blessings of the Lord. Solomon speaks about so many blessings that are in this life and in the world. The reward of one that works is a blessing from God. We are to work. And the reward that we receive in working is a blessing from God. We can take that and use that well, or we can use it against our Lord. Here in 1 John chapter 5, I tell you what, I think when I go to this verse, I think about what it says over there in Daniel about the man of sin and how when he comes on the scene, that spirit of Antichrist and the Antichrist himself will look to wear out the saints. I tell you what, as we go day to day to day, week by week, our world is getting crazier and crazier. I mean, it's nonsensical. And you know what? That's in time, it's going to just keep on putting more pressure on you and me, on the people of the Lord. Well, you know what the our brother writes here, our Lord gives us, 1 John chapter 5, verse number 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. You know, we hold to that of the perseverance of the saints. The saints will persevere by the power and help of the Lord and their dedication to the Lord. It's all mingled in there together. The Lord's not going to take us through this life like a limp rag. And we are given that avenue of prayer and His Word that we're to feed on. We have a will of life that we're to use and bend that. I beseech you, brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto the Lord. Right? Isn't that what the apostles begging that the people of God there at Rome? Our Lord tells about the overcomers there in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3 in those seven churches of Asia Minor. How do the children of God that are in His churches overcome? By overcoming right there in His churches. Not turning tail and running. Lord, help us. It's easy to say, but that's what it is. You want to overcome? Do we want to stay faithful to what the Lord has given us in His Word and your life and in your family and your home and in the church? Or maybe just, well, let's kind of let this slide and kind of let this go and let this, and you know, that, do we want to get along with the world? The children of God want to overcome and want to live for the Lord and want to be obedient to Him no matter what the world, where the world goes. In this same chapter, we come to verse number 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not hath made him a liar, made God a liar. Why? Because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. And we've taken a look about that record. And this is the record, verse 11, that God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. There's no other way to be saved. By Jesus we have eternal life. That's what God says. And you know what? We believe that. Those, the children of God know that they're saved because of the witness of the Spirit within them and through the Word of God. His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We are the sons of God. That the reading the Word of God, does it do something for you? Does it help you? Does it stir you? Does it trouble you? Does it encourage you? Does it help? You know, does it work in you? Or is reading the Word of God just kind of like this book that I just can't get anything out of? It's like a bunch of gobbledygook. Oh, and there's mysteries. There's things in the Word of God that are hard to be understood. When there's a spiritual witness within, the Word of God will speak to us. The witness of the Spirit within and through His Word. What's it say? He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. The believer. Knowing and solid that Jesus is the answer for all things. And what He and what of God have said, what God Almighty has given us in His Word. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. Because see, the Lord has given a record to mankind that mankind is expected of God to hear. I said it here in the last couple of weeks. The design of the Lord has always been to mankind that men believe what He says. Hearken to what the Lord says, hear it, and believe it. Adam, don't eat of that tree in the middle of the garden. That's the way it's been from the beginning. God said it, and mankind's to hear it and believe it and trust the Lord in it. That's the way it's always been. The witness of the Spirit through His Word. In Matthew chapter 7, fruit inspection. You know, as a pastor, I've got to be a fruit inspector. From the standpoint of brethren that I would look to lead the church and recommend to the church to come and have and minister to you, like in our conference. I want men that bear the fruit of the Spirit. Men that are sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God. Men that can come and take the Word of God and break it open to feed us from the Word of God. And so, there's fruit inspection that's necessary. There's introspection as we make a call at every time that we observe the Lord's Supper, that we look at ourselves that we look at ourselves. How are we doing? How are we growing? How are we walking with our Lord? Do we have sin in our lives that we need to put out of our lives? Those who are saved know so, and evidence of such is this. And in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 17, even so every good... Now let's back up to verse 15. Beware false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. All of us are known by such. Do men gather grapes of thorns? No. You don't go to a briar bush to expect to get fruit. Figs of thistles? No, that doesn't happen. Even so every good tree, here's the principle, bringeth forth good fruit. The saved bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. Those who are saved look to add to the faith that the Lord's given them. Even every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. It's impossible. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. In obeying our Lord and His witness within us and the Word of God as it comes to us, Are you evidencing good fruit in your life? What the Lord says is good? Is there that still small voice of the Lord that's chiding us and rebuking us when we do sin against our Lord? Is that there? What kind of fruit? Those who are saved bear forth the fruit of the Spirit, good fruit. In John chapter 10, wonderful passage. The Lord sets it straight here about these things regarding how we are enabled, right? I get this in the Lord talking about Him being the vine mixed up. Here He's talking about the sheepfold. Get that in chapter 15 mixed up. In John chapter 10, verse number 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now that's a fine picture, isn't it? We think of a shepherd, and we think of his sheep, and you know, maybe two shepherds come along and mix. It's not in our culture to be around shepherds, but you can imagine two shepherds meet out there in the open area, or we see over in Europe. Sheep herders, you know, taking their sheep and moving them around, and maybe not so with them and that in mass, but that shepherd knew his sheep and knew them by name, and even though two flocks might mingle, when the shepherd goes off, he'll call them and they'll come to him. That's the way it is with us and the Lord. The Lord speaks. Do you care what the Lord's saying? Do you care what your Lord's saying? Do we care what He is saying? You hear the voice of the Lord. How is it that we know the voice of our Lord? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. How do we hear our Lord's voice today? Through His Word, isn't it? Isn't it through His good Word? Well, that means we've got to spend some time in it, don't we? I spend some time in His Word and being filled up with His Word and hearing what He's saying unto us. You know, it's a wonderful thing about the living Word of God. It is a book that is alive. To speak to us today with the things that are going on in life and the things that we're dealing with and the maturity that we need to gain. The Lord, take His Word, maybe even the same passage, and work on us and meet a need that we need in growing in Him, or like I said, rebuke or encouragement or whatever. And you know what? Sometime later, months or years later, the Lord can take the same word and deal with what's going on in our lives then. It's a living book because it comes from a living Lord. And those that are saved hear their Lord's voice through His Word and by His Spirit. You want to follow the Lord? You want to follow Him? Everybody wants to follow Him to heaven, but do you and I want to follow Him here in this life? We've got a little bit of time between now and then. And do we want to follow Him? The Lord, as we saw with Peter, our Lord called our brethren and said, follow me. You want to follow Him? You want to follow the way of the world? I want to mention about this before we close. Let's turn over here to Romans chapter 7. I think this is appropriate for this point, to make this point. I'm sorry. Romans chapter 5. We think about the child of God being like a newborn babe. And we think about our children, or children that we've been around, or maybe you've got nieces and nephews that you've seen grow up from birth on. That's the picture that's painted in the scriptures, you know, a baby that's totally dependent on what's done for them. The child of God that's the one that's just recently saved is like that newborn babe. Can be fed some lies and won't know any different. That can happen. No doubt that's happened over the centuries and millennia. Be misguided. Maybe be saved. Hear the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ, but just totally be misdirected on how to live life. But as they grow and they're fed, and they mature, we grow up in our Lord, there's this hearing what God says, just like a mother or a father would say, go ahead and go over here and step towards me. I'll catch you. I won't let you fall down. Like when a toddler begins to walk, they're up, they're pulling up, and they're hanging on, but they're looking to take that first step, right? And we reach out to them. We know we'll catch them, but they don't know we'll catch them. But you know what? They get to that point to where they do believe that we will, and they go ahead and come on out. And you know what? There's experience that's gained. You know what helps with assurance? Is the Lord putting us to the test and us putting the Lord to the test. Are His promises true? The Lord never lies. Will the Lord help us in every whit of life? Indeed, He will. We're His children. We're His children. And so you know what? We need to hear what the Lord says and believe Him and go forward on that. And then as He tries us, we need to go forward in that testing that we have, and that experience is gained in our Lord. You know what? And faith in our Lord grows. But listen to what it says here. In Romans chapter 5, verse number 1, therefore, being justified by faith in our Lord, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This condemnation's gone, okay? Condemnation's gone. We're not thinking about hell. We're not thinking about having to go to hell because we've been rescued by our Lord. Now it's walk with our Savior, by whom also we have access by faith. Access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. We need our Lord's help. We can't do this on our own. You know what? We believe. Do you believe that the Lord will help you? I think it can be with the children of God that they don't believe that the Lord will really help them. They got to look to their own means. That can happen. That can happen. We believe the Lord will help. We believe that we need to go to the Lord so He will help us and give us what we need. That He wants to hear from us and we need to hear from Him, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, this favor, wherein we stand in His favor, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That's speaking about future things. Hope for help now, and hope for that glory that we will enjoy with our Lord. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. He says, now, let's talk about right now. Okay, so that's there's that glory to come. I think there's that glory in the answer of the Lord presently. But then there's these trials, these tribulations, these testings. See, our Lord gives you something. He gives me and you something, teaches us something. And then now let's put it to the test. Have we really received it? Do we really believe it? We trust Him and know that what He has said is true, and then, you know what, our faith is strengthened in our Lord. Lord, I don't know how You're going to work in this, but You've told me that this is so, and help me to abide by it. And you know what, the Lord delivers. Or He gives grace to bear up under the thing. I'm not giving you anything in particular, because I don't want to distract with that. I want us to get the principle. And you know what, then having grown to that, you know what's up? We're ready for the next thing. Sometimes it's so that our Lord gives us a thing, and then He tries us in that, and we fail. And then it needs to be reaffirmed again, and we're tried in that, and we fail. I think there's facets in our lives that are all that way. The Lord gives us a thing, and we receive that, and we believe Him, trust Him in it, and you know what? He tries us, and we hold up with His strength, with His help. And then you know what happens then? We're ready for the next thing. Rather than just walking from the chair to our parent, now we're ready to start walking across the room. Verse 3, and not only so, we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience works experience, and experience works hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. You know what hope will do? The world around us and the people around us say, you're crazy for trusting in the Lord with that. You're crazy in doing that, pursuing that. You know that doesn't work in our day, in our time. And they say, yes, it will. They say, yes, my Lord is faithful because of what He said. The whole world will say, no, no, no. But the Lord says yes in His Word. There's no shame in that. And find out by that experience and by that blessing and by that help. Patience, experience hope, and hopeth maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. We love the Lord. We love our Lord because He's loved us, and we are convinced that we are in His hands. Remember, this is the same book that says, what can separate us from the love of God? Can anything? Nothing. 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 His love is shed abroad in our hearts. How? By the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us, the Spirit of God living within. What brings assurance of salvation into my life? Experience, trial, testing, tribulation, walking with the Lord, going to Him in prayer and in tears sometimes because we just don't know how it can work out. Asking the Lord for faith. Lord, I know You say this, but I'm just having a hard time doing this, pursuing this, knowing that this will work. Obeying our Lord and believing Him and trusting Him will help and bring assurance as we go and as we grow. We'll look at more at this subject next time.